Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Wall Street Breakfast, your daily source of market news and analysis. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
Welcome to Alpha Talks, What Moved Markets This Week, the week ending Friday, May 29th, 2021, a longer holiday week coming up in the U.S. with the Memorial Day Monday when markets will be closed. But what's happened this week is a return of risk appetite in a pretty big way, and stocks have rallied. It's also the last trading day of May, I should mention. And as we record this at noon on Friday here, indexes are higher for the week and higher for the month. In fact, I believe it's four straight months that we're looking at winning records for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. So I am curious about my colleagues' views on this, on what moved markets this week. And let me introduce them now. I am joined by Brad Olison, VP of News, Kim Kahn, Senior News Editor, Stephen Alfer, Managing Editor of Breaking News. I am your host and moderator, Nathaniel E. Baker, Senior Editor of Strategic Contributors here at Seeking Alpha. Let me kick it over to Kim to give us the big picture overview of what moved markets this week.
I think what the S&P told us this week is that investors are just pretty comfortable around the 4,200 level for the S&P 500. And that's kind of what the month of May has told us as well. I mean, we're going to be up, yes, as you said, but probably up less than 1% on the S&P. And going back, that's the smallest, you know, absolute value change percentage-wise since January 2020. I mean, you had all these huge moves, and now we're kind of back to a very small move, which maybe wouldn't be what you'd expect, considering this is Q2. This is supposed to be the go-to recovery quarter. And looking over on the economic data, we had a lot of kind of confirmation of what we already suspected, that shortages are having issues in some sectors. So it hit the housing numbers for high prices of lumber, and the chip shortage hit car orders for durable goods, but ex-transport durable goods did well. GDP had a big drop in inventories, which actually bodes well, for that revision of Q1 bodes well for how Q2 is going to do. And, the Chicago PMI came out with a gangbusters number today, also showed some decline in inventories. And then you had the inflation number, the core PCE, which is what's watched by the Fed, came in at 3.1%. That's the biggest year-on-year move since 1992. And yet the bond market just shrugged, 10-year didn't move at all. So we've got this kind of a comfortable zone for equities, and it looks like a comfortable zone for bonds right now.
Yes, and a comfortable zone also for meme stocks. Didn't mention at the top, but they have done very well this week. And what about the others? Curious about the winners and losers. Brad, lead us on that.
Yes, as Kim mentioned, not a whole lot of move on the top line gauges, but a lot of movement internally. We saw this is more of a reopening week. So there's some of the biggest movers were some in the travel sector, Royal Caribbean, Norwegian Cruise, Carnival Cruise. They indicated that sailings were rather strong this week, which I think is a little obvious. I think a lot of people saw that coming, especially as we reached a new milestone in vaccinations. Over 50% of those in the U.S. over the age of 18 are now fully vaccinated, according to some of the latest data. And that kind of has borne out in some of the other data. So bookings from some of the airlines were touted at a bunch of conferences, including the Wolf conference this week. So that gave a lift to some of the airlines like American Airlines, Delta, United Air. And then another reopening name, MGM. This is gambling, right? Casinos. That was also one of the standout winners this week. Airbnb and Expedia, although they didn't make the list, there were some anecdotal reports that they have been sold out in some of these communities for travel. Again, this is we are recording this right ahead of the Memorial Day weekend, right? Where the travel is supposed to be well up over 60% year over year. Obviously a low base coming off of, the pandemic year, but at the same time, there are some indications that travel is going to be just broadly healthy. As you mentioned, Nat, the meme names were also big winners, although not in my S&P 500 list that I tend to look through.
Not yet.
Right. So who knows if AMC continues at this torrid pace, maybe their market cap might kind of put them on the S&P radar. GameStop, obviously one of those, AMC I just mentioned, and Beyond Meat was the new meme or Wall Street Bets Reddit focused name that was brought to the fore this week. And all those names up tremendously. AMC, clearly the winner there. On the flip side of a reopening week, you're obviously going to have some weakness in utility names. There we have a lot of healthcare stocks, the larger healthcare pharmaceutical names, Merck, Amgen, Gilead, and Vertex, which some of those were big vaccine optimism-related names. And so those have kind of taken a little backseat as the pandemic is slowly fizzling out in certain parts of the world. Obviously, India still raging there, and hopefully some of the vaccines can get there imminently. Dollar Tree was another kind of defensive name. They also had earnings, though, this week, which tended to contribute to some of their weakness.
Yeah, it's remarkable, the statistics that we're seeing around travel and all this reopening. If you've watched any sports this week, you know that fans are back in arenas and ballparks in major ways. Go Knicks, by the way.
One name I didn't mention on the travel route, we got Ford, right?
Yeah.
Big electric event this week. So I guess orders going gangbusters for their F-150 Lightning. I think over 75,000 pre-orders now. So maybe next year you'll see one of those on the road for Memorial Day.
Fans are back in stadiums, and Philly fans are already getting banned from stadiums. So yeah, Fans are getting back to normal.
And a Knicks fan, too, got banned. So it wasn't just Philly fans this time. Steven, speaking of Philly, what were you watching this week?
Before I get into Bitcoin.
Other than the Sixers and stuff, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't watch pro basketball. I did hear about that incident. It's interesting, the last couple of weeks we've had retail earnings reports, and like last week, like kind of as expected, all the retailers reported just blowout numbers, right? But the stocks all went down, and everybody's like, well, if everybody, the stimulus checks are priced in, the reopening trade's priced in, fair enough. Then this week, you also had a lot of blowout numbers, but the stocks reacted, many of them, by going sharply higher. So trading is hard, investing is hard, or short-term trading is hard, right? But getting to Bitcoin, it's been a very newsy week. Over the weekend, we had the so-called Bitcoin Mining Council announced to try to appease, bring Elon Musk back into the Bitcoin fold. It met very mixed reviews from kind of the Bitcoin crowd. I said mixed to negative, probably. I'm reminded of that movie, The Social Network, we've all seen, where Sean Parker first meets Zuckerberg and the other fellow for the first time. And they're saying, should we put advertising on Facebook? And Parker goes, what you've got with Facebook is cool. Advertising is not cool. Well, Bitcoin mining councils aren't cool. I would imagine the folks who started Bitcoin up, Satoshi, Hal Finney, Nick Szabo, if they were still around and they knew what it had become with this Bitcoin mining council trying to appease, climate change folks, they probably would never have started the thing in the first place, is my guess. But yeah, Bitcoiners are fighting a totally losing battle on that. The folks who are going to hate Bitcoin and say it's boiling the oceans, they're going to say it no matter what these guys do, whatever reports they produce. Fred Thiel, who runs Marathon Patent, who's trying his best to appease that crowd. I mean, he could set up every single one of his miners next to a waterfall and stick a wire in it and run his miners off that. And it still wouldn't, kind of please the folks who hate Bitcoin. So the bear market continues. I would expect rallies to continue to be sold. I would expect Bitcoin to continue to react negatively to bad news. It reminds me of tech kind of early 2000 right now.
Yeah. Aren't the Bitcoin folks meeting down in Miami this weekend, or is it next week for some?
Well, they had a big conference this week, the CoinDesk Consensus Conference. That was virtual. And then there's going to be a live conference next week in Miami,
right,
which I'm actually going to be attending.
Oh, really? Okay. Well,
I'm happy to report back from there.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And also report on whether you get any batteries or stuff like that thrown at you for your views on Bitcoin. All right, let's move on to the next segment of the show where we discuss our favorite stories, Seeking Alpha articles, or other items of interest that we've seen, read, or contributed to this week. And let's start with Kim.
Well, we've already mentioned it. It's AMC, but I think it's worth going a little more. Start with the numbers. It's tripled this week. It's approaching $16 billion market cap. It's up 1,200% for the year, and short sellers have lost about $1.3 billion just this week on the stock. And I think that what's interesting to me was looking at the differences this time around from what we saw in January. And one thing is the volume, and just the amount of volume on AMC, that it's broken away from trading in tandem with GameStop. You used to see like both of them, you know, going up or going down. And now, you know, but AMC's volume has been more than Tesla in the last 3 days, which is kind of unheard of. And it's this basically suggests to me that, you know, the retailer investor is not the only one who's in on this. I mean, the hedge funds were already talking about next time this comes around, we'll be ready. And I think they were, and there's just like a huge amount of call option volume going around. Somebody's got to be buying these things up and then selling them again. And I don't think it's all the Wall Street Bets crowd. And if you look at Wall Street Bets, actually the board, it's not universally like, you know, AMC strong. I mean, there obviously are a lot of, you know, big believers in AMC and the, you know, going to the moon and things like that. But there's a lot of thinking, you know, this has gone too far. A lot of, you know, questions on the main discussion thread about, you know, is it time for some puts? Is it time to, you know, to cash in? Because, yeah, and it doesn't seem to have the same, like, you know, directed drive. We're just going to drive this thing as far as it goes and break a Wall Street institution. I think this has kind of got a little different vibe to it. And I think Rich Greenfield is out today saying he doesn't even think it's a short squeeze. He thinks it's just like, you know, changing hands, and it's not the shorts getting burned. So we'll see how it pans out, but still just a huge move.
Wow. So the volume on it having more volume over Tesla, is that the equity or the options or both?
That's equity. Just
wow. So that's remarkable because Tesla is an S&P 500 stock for now.
Yeah.
As we know. Yeah. All right, Brad, what about you?
I'd just like to draw the connective tissue from last week into this week and through all of the themes that we've mentioned, and like to just jump onto NVIDIA. So some of our watchers will remember us talking about gamers and the inelasticity of gaming demand and how, you know, that are arguably video games are an inelastic, I guess, demand and activity. So NVIDIA earnings were this week, and that dovetailed nicely with a note from T.S. Lombard that Kim, I believe, wrote up about the deflationary cycle potentially ending in chip stocks. A bold call that Moore's Law was over. I think that's been repudiated many, many times over the past few years. But there were some very strong cases to be made in that particular article. And I think it's even more relevant in today's world where the car prices are soaring due to a shortage of chips. The data center demand is off the charts. We have a new work from home culture that's been growing. So it's just this insatiable appetite for chips, and combined with the fact that it's going to require even more technical advancements and money to produce even smaller and denser and more advanced chips. I thought it was a rather interesting call that as technology has become cheaper and cheaper and cheaper over the past 20 years, we may be turning that around between technological advancements and how the economies have been changing around the world with a little, you know, dose of pandemic and Bitcoin mining tossed into it. I think NVIDIA was even, they made maybe a technical adjustment to try to restrict the ability for their chips to be used in wide uses, including Bitcoin mining. Who knows how successful that will be, but the analysts on the street felt like the biggest part of NVIDIA's earnings was the fact that any decline in any of those uses, being gaming or otherwise, would be offset by the data center demand. And so that was kind of forming the bull thesis behind a lot of the analysts upgrading and boosting their price targets on the NVIDIA stock this week.
Very interesting. And I wonder if that is what trickled through to the rest of the tech sector, along with other things, of course. Stephen, what about you? You mentioned Brad mining, and we've touched on crypto a little bit. I have a feeling that's where you're going to go, but so go ahead.
No, I'll move off that. I said my piece, but speaking of another movie, Oliver Stone's Great Wall Street and Bud Fox, right, calling clients. I was fascinated by a story this week where Bank of America Merrill Lynch, the Thundering Herd, will no longer be cold calling to try to sell stocks to clients. They've banned the practice with their junior class coming up, and I assume that'll filter through to the entire organization at some point. Instead, they're going to use whatever LinkedIn, social media to contact clients. The most amazing part of the story to me is that they were still actually doing that in 2021. Yeah, I've never gotten a call. I guess I don't make enough money to get on those phone call lists or something like that. But pretty interesting change of the times that whatever, you know, 35 years after Wall Street, kind of that practice is coming to an end.
And no longer thundering herd, right? It's just going to be a low murmur of typing on the computer instead of dialing on the keypads.
Yeah, really interesting. And so if you won't take on crypto, I guess I will. A piece by Biotech Valley Insights. Title is Sell Your Bitcoin Today and Do Not Look Back. Published on May 25th, which I guess was Monday or Tuesday. Can't remember which. But they write here, as I warned readers in my previous article, Bitcoin has collapsed around 50%. Target price of Bitcoin, they have around 15,000 to 20,000, which is a drop of, I don't know, another 50 or 70% in the next few weeks. The party is clearly over, and investors should consider liquidating anything related to Bitcoin or short it. Very outspoken here. And they say recent collapse proves that Bitcoin isn't a safe haven, no kidding, store of value, no kidding, or a hedge against inflation / market correction. Yes, indeed. But a speculative token that can go down 50% in a week, as we said last week. And then finally, you know, Bitcoin has exhausted its exotic catalysts, which we touched about that earlier. It's no longer cool and is under coordinated regulatory attack by governments around the world. At this point, I do not think there is anything that can save it from collapsing more. So that is that on Bitcoin. Very strong words, very bearish, which makes one think that maybe there is a contrarian take here. But I don't know. There does seem to be a lot aligning against Bitcoin.
There is. There was an interesting note I saw earlier this week from JP Morgan on crypto and how they saw a ton of value being extracted from the space. But there were some positive takeaways from this latest crash. And despite the fact that the market depth evaporated when it was needed most during the latest volatility, they did say that the fact that the volumes did return and there were some other mechanisms associated with market functioning that tended to lend support to the space, that all is not lost. It isn't as hokey as it seems, and that all the different players in the market are lending support to the space, and that there is a technical backdrop that is supportive of a more mature asset. As much as you'd like to say that any asset that can decline 50% is immature, JP Morgan seems to think that it's not as cut and dry as it seems. Again, analysts speaking out of both sides of the mouths, but nevertheless, just some interesting takeaway there.
Yeah. You have to say that once inflation, interest rates move up next year or whenever it is, then you think the party's over now for Bitcoin. One would expect it to really and truly be over at that point. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
And Nat, I thought it was really, I read that article too, and I thought it was really good. Not because the author had any interesting insights into Bitcoin. I think his clearly showed a lack of knowledge about Bitcoin and crypto. But he showed a lot of knowledge about just considering it an asset and the recognition of a bubble and kind of the stage that we're in at the bubble, right? We're in the anxiety stage. And I think he nailed things really well. I think it's a lot more likely we see Bitcoin in the teens before we see Bitcoin, say, above 55,000 this summer. And that doesn't mean the death of the asset. That just means, you know, it's a bear market right now.
Yeah, will be very interesting to see what you have to report out of Miami next week. Looking forward to that. Okay, on that note, we thank you for being with us today. Thank you for watching. If you have been watching the video, if you were listening to the audio, be sure to check out the video, which is really cool, has all kinds of nice, neat little features. And you can see us in our respective living rooms / offices, which are not at all digitally enhanced. So with virtual backgrounds or anything like that. So with that, we thank you for being with us again and look forward to speaking to you next week. Have a nice holiday weekend, everybody, and a safe one. Thanks.
That concludes today's Wall Street Breakfast. Thank you for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to seekingalpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great day.